In John chapter 5, verse number 19, our Lord Jesus says this. The Jews there, the leadership amongst the Jews, they've taken great offense because the Lord has said that he is the great I am. He has made himself equal with God, with the Father, by being his son, stating that he is his son, his only begotten son. They've taken great offense at that. In verse number 19 of John 5, our Lord, as he begins to set some things straight, he says this, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So the Lord's answer to them is that he's doing what he's received of the Father. Our Lord Jesus is no freelancer. And so well that speaks to you and me that we should not be freelancers, but obedient to our Savior. Our Savior is obedient to the Father, and we should be obedient to him. Well, what we want to focus on this morning is this, what the Lord says here at the beginning. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Those are interesting words, and we will come back to this ultimately and deal with the particular subject of this chapter. But when the Lord uses verily in the scriptures, it's akin to saying amen. It's the same word in the Greek, and it's also akin and a synonym of it is truly, truly, or surely, surely. And as years ago, the Lord helped me to understand when that statement is made, when the Lord uses verily, or in this case, that double emphasis of verily, verily, I see it like this and understand it like this. I'm helped like this about it. It's very important information that you and I cannot do without. It's very important information that you and I cannot go on without. So this morning we want to take a look. Verily, verily, I say unto you. I invite you to turn over here to Exodus chapter 31. We're going to take a look in the Old Testament and see about some things regarding this and how it's stated in the scripture. In Exodus chapter 31, we see this in verse number 13. And it says in verse 12, the Lord spake unto Moses, so our Lord speaking, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you, doth set you apart." Here we see first mention in the scripture of the Lord speaking and using this word verily. And again, here in the Hebrew, it is the same as we see in the New Testament and in the Greek. It's a way to describe this in a synonym. It's saying, surely, this is foundational. This will not change. This is my expectation. Surely of a surety, it is another way to say it, or truly or verily. Our Lord says, he says, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Now, our Lord is speaking here to the children of Israel. And in our day, by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, we are not Jews. We don't have it to keep the Sabbaths, as described here, the feast days, the special days that the Lord ordained for Israel. But we do have one day, and that is Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. When our Lord rose from the dead and he met first with his church, it is the Lord's day. It is his day that we are to keep. And he says, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. And you know what? Sometimes the ox gets in the ditch, doesn't it? And even our Lord spoke about that. Sometimes cattle would get off in the ditch, and the Lord dealt with those Jews of his day that were striving against him and fighting against him and quarreling with him, looking for occasion against him. And they had this man that was lame or withered with the withered hand, and the Lord put forth to him, he said, on the Sabbath day, you'll reach in and get your cattle out of the ditch and the well, the Lord expects it to be done. Why shouldn't this man be healed on the Lord's day? Because they quarreled with the Lord. So sometimes there are things that come about that we must do things that we would normally do in the regular part of the week. But brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, may the Lord help us that we understand that we not push anything in the ditch. Amen? It's the Lord's day, and we need to treat it as the Lord's day. We need to reverence it as the Lord's day. And sometimes things happen and we just have to deal with them like that. But let us keep the Lord's day his day. The Lord says regarding this, again, that rule of first mention in the study of the scripture, verily my Sabbath, he says unto us, the Lord's day, ye shall keep. Psalm 37. Let's take a look over here. Psalm 37. And take a look over here. The psalmist uses this reference, of course, a scripture inspired by the Lord, the Lord speaking unto us through him. Listen to this passage. This is a blessing indeed. Psalm 37, verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We've got a temptation about that, don't we? We can be. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Remember their end. David is the child of God that's being used here for this psalm, to write this psalm. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Our Lord, he tells us here that we need to trust in him, that he will provide for us. He will take care of us, even in the seemingly impossible way at times that the Lord tells us to go. We need to obey him, and he promises he will take care of us. Jesus said the same things in the Gospels, did he not? He says here, trust in the Lord. Don't look off over at the wicked. Don't look at the way they operate. Don't look at what they pursue. But trust in the Lord and do good unto him and because of him and for him. Obey him. He says, so in doing so, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Listen to what he says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight in him, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Looking unto the Lord, delighting, resting in him. This old world and this old flesh assails us and feeds to us always the line that the Lord is just a drag. That the Lord is just a burden and a weight and a restriction. But understand that our Lord is freedom. Our Lord is rest indeed. And as the psalmist declares, may we commit our way unto him. If it's something that we're tempted to go after and pursue, or as we mentioned earlier about the Lord's day, and it's something that we should just leave to the days of business, leave it there. Leave it with the Lord. And rest in him and commit our way unto him. Trust also in him that what he has said will work. He'll bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Verse 6, and thy judgment is the noonday. He'll cause us to shine. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Seems like maybe everybody else is getting ahead in the world. They're following after the way of the world and the pattern of the world and what makes sense to the flesh. Don't fret about them. Rest in the Lord. Because of the man that who bringeth wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. The Lord says, just put it away from you. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The children of God get it all. And the thing is, the greatest blessing is having our Lord. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Psalm 39. Let's read here. In verse number 1, I said, I will take heed. A psalm of David also, David here writing. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. He begins to understand it, doesn't he? And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. We need to understand about this old man. I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I'll go ahead and confess this. This past week, I've had some real issues with some anger. Some things and circumstances about some things that I've dealt with have just caused me to boil. And I tell you what, it's not done me any good, and it's not done those around me any good. It's just been bad. It's been wrong. The thing is, what happens in this is what happens when we get our eyes off the Lord. When we don't rest in the Lord, as the previous passage said about putting away anger and putting away wrath, it just does not work the work of the Lord. Even when we would think ourselves so justified and something so very easy and so simple to be just such a troubling, nagging affair. That's the way it is with me. In my best state naturally, I am empty. I am vain. You know, that's the reason I need the Lord. And I'm saved. You that are here, you're saved. We got this old man, and he's just as mean and ugly and rotten as he ever has been. And I tell you what, we need our Lord. Lord, make me to know mine end. Lord, remind me of who I am and what you've saved me from. The measure of my days. When we see the measure of our days, we see they're very short. Why should I waste them sinning against my Lord? Why should I waste them as a bad witness for my Lord? What is it, what it is, that I may know how frail I am? See, brother over at the conference there at Northside preached about how it is true that in and of ourselves we can do nothing, but we have a great calling of our Lord to follow Him and to rest in Him and to trust in Him and to obey Him. And how is it that we can accomplish it? We can't accomplish it in and of ourselves. But I tell you what, by the power of the Spirit of God within us, we can accomplish it. We can arise above these things that, in my case, this past week causes me to boil so, that we just leave it with the Lord, that we take it to the Lord, that we speak to the Lord, that we see about how it is with us. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Are you here and not saved? I tell you what, you have nothing. You have life just for a little short time. I tell you what, seek the Lord while He may be found. Draw nigh unto Him while He is near. There's going to come a time where the vanity is going to be wiped away and a man's going to be left his soul and his sin in hell and the lake of fire forever. The judgment of God is going to be poured out upon that vanity of men. Your vanity. And I tell you what, Christ is the only help and the answer indeed. Verse number 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. It's what Solomon said. The same thing. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I tell you what, with that hope and that rest, that salvation of the Lord, indeed we have something, don't we? We have everything in our Lord. Verily, we are all together in our best state, vanity indeed. Psalm 58, verily, 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 I say unto thee, our Lord speaks unto us. In Psalm 58, verse number 1, do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Again, a psalm of David. Do ye judge uprightly, ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies, speaking about our depravity. We've got it. We've got that. That's the... Well, I didn't ask for that, Brother Jim. I know that's how bad sin is. That's how corruptive sin is. If you will, there's an aspect of it that it preys upon the innocent. Adam was there and he sinned. And you know what? It affected all of his children. Well, they didn't ask for it in that sense. They were innocent in that sense. But you know what? That's how bad sin is. It's corruptive. It's wicked. God knows it. There is another aspect of it that we were right there with our daddy doing the same thing. He says here in verse number 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Verse 4, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. We see Brother Paul taking some of these verses and compiling them in Romans chapter 3. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. I tell you what, that poison, that sin that is within us just will not be stopped by ourselves. We cannot do anything with it, do anything for it. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Verse 7, let them melt away as waters which run continually. What's he praying for? Judgment upon sin and the wicked. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. I say, Brother Jim, that's pretty harsh. I tell you what, in the end, the judgment of the Lord will be equitable upon sin and sinners without Christ. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. So now we have this of the aspect of those that are redeemed by the Lord, those that are his, they will rejoice when he seeth the vengeance, that of evildoers and wickedness being put down. It will be that way. When Jesus comes, he'll not come proclaiming the gospel, but he'll come judging in righteousness and in wrath and fury. And that's the thing, that's the call now, sinner. Receive him now. Bow the knee now. Believe now. Because who will withstand in the day of judgment of our Lord? The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. Not that we care for the consuming and the destruction of people, but that our Lord is just and just and right. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Verse 11. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. You hear that? Let it be known. There is salvation in the Lord. And praise God for it. That would be enough if that's all that there was to be redeemed. That would be enough. To be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. To be a servant in glory unto our Lord. But you know what? There is a reward. There is an adoption. There is that of inheriting the earth. And as the Lord Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure, children, to give you the kingdom. There is a reward with our Lord. And praise be to his name. Our Lord doeth all things well. Not only does he save, not only does he rescue, but he makes us his own. Joint heirs with Christ. Oh, what a blessedness. What a blessedness indeed that we are, can be and are known as the sons of God. There's a reward for the righteous, for those that are the Christ, that those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But be warned, verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. He judges. And he will judge all. And it's sure, surely, truly, he does judge in the earth. We come to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Here, another psalm, and we don't know, we believe that it's David, but it's not directly indicated so. Nevertheless, it's the psalmist. And he writes this, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." It should be. He's worthy of it. "Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works." There's none greater. Brother Bobby read about the hail and the fire that ran along the ground, the lightning and that. I tell you what, he's great and he's terrible in his power. "Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name." Selah. Think about that for a while. All of the earth singing unto him. "Come and see the works of God." Verse 5. "He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into a dry land." Remember that? "They went through the flood on foot. Where did we rejoice in him?" In the movies, they showed it kind of sloppy and wet. But it was dry. And you and I both know how it is in any at the bottom of any body of water. It's muddy and sloppy, and they went across on dry land. In an instant, our Lord caused that water to recede and to go back, and at the appointed time, they went through. And there was not enough time for that path in the Red Sea, and it was wide for it to dry up. But you know what? Our Lord dried it up. He's saying, consider and think about these things. He ruleth by his power, verse 7, forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Just take a pause and think about that. Brother Mark pointed out with Abraham and Sarah this morning, the Lord knows what's being thought. The Lord knows what's being thought by every individual, every king, every ruler. He knows. He beholds the nations and their pursuits and their works. You know what? Our Lord knows exactly what's going on in North Korea. Every whit of it. And you know what? We need to pray that the Lord would protect our country from that country, that regime, that madman. We need to pray that the Lord would help our nation, our president, and the decisions that he makes regarding such. His eyes behold the nations, verse 7. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Verse 8, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. I tell you what, I'm thankful that my soul is being held by the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? I tell you what, that's peace. For thou, O God, verse 10, has proved us and has tried us as silver is tried, and he does so for his children. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. And that of the loins talks about the future. Abraham was told of his loins he would have a son. He's laid affliction. He's purposed a good thing upon us in our future. Verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. That tells the tale about the sojourn in this life. Amen. For the child of God. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered. And how do we do that? We sacrifice the sacrifice of praise unto our God. With my lips which my lips have uttered, verse 14, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer thee unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings and the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I tell you what, we need to be a witness of what our Lord's done for us. I cried unto him, verse 17, with my mouth. Listen, this is the child of God speaking, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We need to put sin away from us. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Verse 19, but verily God hath heard me. Sometimes it may feel like the Lord doesn't hear us. Sometimes, as a brethren says in the scriptures, that it seems like it's a sky of brass. But our Lord hears. Verily he does hear his children. And so much so, I think we are so guilty, and Lord, forgive us for it. Lord, forgive me for it, that we do not avail ourselves to the prayer that the Lord has given us. To pray in faith. To pray believing that we receive the things that we have prayed for. As our Lord Jesus said himself out of his mouth, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. I find myself so much praying in a what if, rather than, Lord, this is what's at hand and this is what we need. And indeed, we do not need to ask amiss. I don't need things that just take care of me and that would just be something that I would consume upon my own desire and enjoyment. It's not wrong to have things that way. The Lord blesses with those things sometimes. But you know what? We need to pray for what will glorify our Lord. You know what? I believe if we pray in faith, he will bless it. He will give it. Why would he hold back on glorifying his name? But verily God hath heard me. Surely, firmly, of a surety, he has heard me. Isaiah chapter 45, Brother Isaiah, a prophet in his day to a wayward nation and people. And in Isaiah chapter 45, listen to what our brother declares here, what our Lord tells here. In Isaiah chapter 45, in verse number 1, and we read these passages to set up and understand the impact of this statement, verily. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. Yeah, this is a man that's a king of the Medes or the Persians, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. He said, I'm going to make an open door for you, Cyrus. I've got some things for you to do. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. Our Lord is going to perform judgment with this man. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I'm going to use you, King Cyrus. For Jacob, my servant's sake, I'm going to use you on him. And Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. It's prophetic. It's about a time to come, and the Lord names him. I am the Lord, verse 5, and there is none else. Get a hold of that. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I formed the light. And he did so from the beginning, didn't he? He is the light, and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Verse 8, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Verse number 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. If you're here and you're not saved, and you're not repentant of your sins before God, that's what you're doing. You're striving with your maker. Our Lord has made clear the command that sinners are to repent and believe the gospel. Don't strive. Don't buck against your creator. Don't buck against the one that has made you, the one that sets forth plainly before you his way of salvation and his Savior. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or any work, he hath no hands. You reply against the Lord. You may reply against those that are your peer, but don't reply against the Lord. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands commanded ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness and will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine, and they shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Going from captive, to, as the Lord said, not be in the tail, but be in the head. Verse 15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. The Lord has declared his greatness, what he's doing in regards to the nation, his nation, what he's going to use in using other kings to chastise them and to rebuke them for their sin and for their wickedness. And you know what? Isaiah is there. And can you imagine that, being there in meditation, being there before the Lord, being there praying unto the Lord, and this word of the Lord coming to you and the Lord speaking to you as his man, his prophet. And brother Isaiah answers, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. Praise be to God. He does reveal himself too. Amen. God has revealed himself. Will you receive? Receive him. Verily, he is a God. You know what? If God chose to just continue to hide himself, he would be perfectly right. But he hideth himself. And indeed, we praise his name. He has revealed himself. Listen to how he reveals himself. O God of Israel, the Savior. He's the Savior, and he's revealed such that he is the Savior of men. There is no God beside him. None. And don't piddle away your life. You that are here not saved, don't piddle away your life looking for another way. There is no way but the way of our Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 15, Brother Jeremiah had a hard row to hoe. He's a man that's like Ezekiel. We saw about the burden that the Lord placed upon Brother Ezekiel, and the testing and even the shame that he bore, likened to our Lord in the ministry that the Lord called him into. The witness that the Lord used his person to be a witness unto the people, and that shameful thing. But you know what was right? Because the Lord called him to do it. And the sin of the people of the nation was so grievous, and it brought them into captivity in Babylonia, and the Lord had not quit them. But verily he spoke unto them the truth. In Jeremiah chapter 15, let's read. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, Jeremiah, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, if they ask you, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as for death to death, such as for the sword, and such as for the famine to the famine, and such as for the captivity to the captivity. The Lord is tired and weary of them. Where shall we go? Because of your wickedness and disobedience, you're heading for destruction. You're heading for destruction. Verse 3, and I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, and the fowls of heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what with that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? The Lord speaking. Or who shall bemoan thee? Who shall weep over thee? So iniquitous. If you remember our study in Ezekiel, how it was that what Israel did is they fornicated and went out with some nations, and toward they got passed around by all the nations, if you will, to where then all the nations ended up despising them. Who's going to care? Who's going to bemoan? Who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Who's going to care? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children as judgment upon them. I will destroy my people since they return not from their ways, their wicked ways. Verse 8. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas, because of their sin and their iniquity. I have brought them upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city, his chastisement of them. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. A woman dies young. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother. I think this is Jeremiah's reply. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. Because see, Jeremiah is God's man telling the truth, telling the message of God, and telling what the Lord has said. Here's the Lord's reply. The Lord said, verse 11, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Brother Jeremiah is there despairing at the plight of the nation and what they've brought upon themselves, and even the ministry that the Lord's called him into to be a witness to the people. But you know what the Lord tells him? Verily, surely I will deliver thee. Verily it shall be well with thy remnant. You know what? The Lord's got a people, and he's going to save them, and he's been saving them, and he's saving them, and he's going to save them. and it's solid, steadfast, and sure. And as bad and as terrible and as it would be, even the ministry that the Lord would call his men into and what he would take his people through and being a testimony and witness to them, to of him, to the a lost and dying world and to the wicked rebels, the Lord will deliver them. If you don't have the Lord as Savior, you have no deliverance. You have no deliverance. You are not part of that remnant of the Lord. Verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. And we know that our Lord took care of our brother. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Our Lord speaks unto us from these Old Testament scriptures and given us different aspects of those things that are solid, steadfast, and sure in him. Verily, he speaks unto you and me. I pray that each one of us would hear. I pray that each one of us would give pause to who our God is and who our Lord is and his calling upon us. I pray that each one of us would give pause to the verily, verily that the Lord says unto us about this life and how we estimate it and how we take it and how we use it. May we not use it to sin against our Lord, but may we use it to honor and glorify him in every way. Verily, verily, I say unto you. You know what? This theme is going to continue on in the New Testament scriptures, and Jesus is going to say it more, and he's going to establish some things for us, the Lord willing, we'll see in the future.